Good morning. Maybe I should have my Bible too, even though we have a handout for the chapter that we're going to be considering this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And some of the things that we've learned before is the fact that the people in Corinth, the believers there in the church, had some problems. Now, these aren't problems that we necessarily have here in our church. I'm kind of glad about that. It's nice that we have a good time of fellowship, and we can enjoy fellowship with one another and good relationships with one another. But sometimes churches do have problems, and not that we have those kinds of problems that we read about in 1 Corinthians, but I think it's good to have a book that we can read through and study together, because sometimes, well, when problems do come up, then you know from the Word of God, here's what maybe we should do about that. And so even if we don't have that problem right now, or somebody doesn't have that problem right now, I don't think we do, then, you know, if it happens in the future, then we know what to do. It's not just like, okay, now the preacher needs to talk about some problem and how we're going to deal with that. And it can be kind of difficult, you know, when the problem does come up. But we don't have to do that. We'll do it. We'll talk about it now, and because it's not a problem right now. But one of the problems was that they didn't always get along very well with each other. They had some disagreements. And sometimes they would take each other to court. Like to, you know, they would sue each other and stuff like that. And so that's not a good thing. We should try to avoid that in the church. And I don't think we have that going on. So I'm glad of that. But just to see what happened with them, and then how difficult that can be and the problems that that causes, we're going to talk about that today in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So I think what I would like to do is to just go ahead and read the passage, and I don't have all of it up here on the screen, but some of it, and most of what we're going to talk about, at least we're not going to talk about the whole chapter. But I'll read it in English. Is there someone who could read it in Korean? Okay, good. Okay, well, I'll let you read it in Korean. And I'm just going to read verses to start with. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 11. So it doesn't have quite all of it on here, but so we're going to read these verses right now. So verses 1 through 11 is what I'll read. I'll read that in English, and then if you could read it in Korean, that would be helpful. Does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? So if you have law courts dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the church? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. Actually, then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this even to your brethren. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Now, I realize that there may be situations. There are situations. There are things that we may need help with, either a lawyer. Oh, yeah, we're going to read it in Corinth. Thank you for reminding me of that. So let's go ahead and do that. Okay, we'll let Pastor do that. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for the reminder that we wanted to do that. In fact, there may be some short phrases that we would like to translate when we go along here, and I may forget to ask to do that too. So we'll try to do that as we look at some of the chapter here. But yeah, I realize that there are times that we do need to have a lawyer or need some help with legal matters. If there is a need to buy or sell property, it's a good thing sometimes to have someone to help you with that, who can help with the legal documents associated with that. Or other times we need legal documents for things. So we need to use the lawyers sometimes, you know, that's what they're there for. That's their job. But when it comes to matters between ourselves and disagreements that we have, it's much better if we don't have to go to people on the outside of the church to settle some of those disagreements. And there's just some difficulty associated with doing that when we have disagreements among ourselves. You know, when you take a matter to court, you have to pay a lawyer. You know, it costs money for that. Court fees. You know, there's the court charges you a fee. It takes time. Lawyers aren't always the fastest at getting things done. And so, you know, it just kind of, things kind of drag on sometimes, and it's difficult. And, you know, they may not always know all the things in the church that are really the things that should be dealt with. And so sometimes it's not a good testimony to people on the outside, you know, that it looks like, you know, boy, you know, these people are having problems. Not a good thing. So it's much better when we can settle it among ourselves, because when we have an argument or we have a disagreement, you know, it seems like sometimes you always want to win the argument, right? Because you think you're right about something and you want to convince the other person that they're wrong. And so if you win the argument, Well, I won the argument. Huh, I'm better than the other person. And it can be hurtful to the other person. So it's not like we have winners and losers in the church. We all belong to Christ. He's won us all to Him. And so we don't really want to have this idea of someone is really better than someone else and kind of making that, you know, some people feel proud and other people feel hurt. We don't want to do that either. So I actually thought of an example in the scriptures. We're not going to turn to it, but I'll write down the chapter in case you want to look at it on your own. And it's in Acts chapter 18. And the place where a man, a Roman official, who refused to make a decision in a legal court about a religious matter. I thought that was kind of interesting. The man's name was Gallio. And there was a time when Paul was being, he was having a hard time, the Jews were having a hard time with Paul. You know, now Paul had been a Jew, he was a Jew, and when he trusted the Lord Jesus as a Savior, he realized the way we come to know Christ, the way we are saved, is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in Him. That's how we have the forgiveness of our sins, because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins when He died on the cross. He rose again. He was raised from the dead. And He gives us eternal life because we trust in Him. Well, the Jews were thinking, well, He's saying that people aren't saved by keeping the law, which is really true, but they didn't like that. And they thought he was disrupting their religion, and so they didn't like that, and they had this problem. They couldn't have Paul continuing to teach this, even though that was the truth, that we're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus alone. So they brought him to this man, Gallio, who was called the proconsul. Almost kind of sounds like a counselor or somebody who knows something about law. And you know what? Gallio said, no, I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to have anything to do with this, because it has to do with matters of your religion, O Jews, and about the law. And so that doesn't concern me. So I'm not gonna try this case. I'm not gonna have anything to do with it. Well, he was right. It was something that they should have dealt with themselves. And, they wanted to do something terrible to Paul. And they wanted to have some help in doing that. But, so he was, now maybe he was doing it for political reasons, you know, okay, this is something I don't want to get involved with because it wouldn't be politically correct. So it might have been for a different reason, I don't know, but at least he was right about it, even if it wasn't for the right reasons, that it wasn't for him to be involved in that. And so the outside judges, whenever we have an internal matter, we should take care of that ourselves as best we can. Not involve people on the outside if possible. So let's look at some of the reasons that Paul gives in this section about why it's not a good idea to go to the outside courts for legal matters that we have among ourselves. So I thought or saw five reasons. You might see a different number. But so we're going to look at some reasons. And the first one is in verse 2. Now, I think it's kind of interesting that a lot of the reasons that he gives, he starts with a question. In fact, a lot of those questions, several of those questions, begin with, do you not know? Such as in verse 2 and verse 3, do you not know? And again in verse 9, do you not know? These are things that maybe they should have already known. Some of these, I'm not sure I would have known if he didn't tell us here, if we didn't have it in the Word of God. But maybe he had taught some of these things before. Maybe one of the other teachers had taught them. These are things they should have known. So we have them, so we can know them too. So he gives some reasons. And the first one, verse 2 says, the saints will judge the world. That means we are going to judge the world. we will judge the world. Is that something we can translate into Corinne? We too, can we? Is that, can we translate that? We will judge the world, or if it's the saints will judge the world, or you could even read it out of the Corinne Bible if you wanted to. We will judge the world. Okay, so now, when we were looking at chapter 5 a couple of weeks ago, you know, we were talking about judging and how it's not right for us to judge one another other than the fact that if there's sin, sin in the assembly or in the church, that's something we need to deal with as a church. We need to do that. If somebody is living in sin, we shouldn't, that's not something that should be done. That's something that we should take action on. But we shouldn't be really judging one another in regard to what we do for Christ, because Christ is the judge. And so we learn that, well, Jesus is the judge. Jesus even said that. All judgment has been given to me. So, and by the way, when it says the saints, we're not talking about people who the Catholic Church has said, these are special people, they're saints. We're the saints. People who know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior are saints. Paul points that out in many of his epistles, of any of the letters that he wrote. He talks to them and says that they're saints. We're saints. So it's not talking about some special group of Christians. It's talking about all believers, all who know the Lord Jesus are saints. And so we're going to judge the world. So how is it that the Lord Jesus, if he's the one who judges all, judgment is given to him, how is it that we judge the world? Well, here's kind of how that works as I see it, is that, you know, when the Lord Jesus comes back, he is going to judge the world. He's going to be victorious over the world and defeat all that are against him and have rejected him. He's going to be the victor. But we're going to come with him. It says his saints are going to be with him. In fact, something that was mentioned out of the book of Daniel's chapter 7 this morning, we didn't read the particular verse, but later in chapter 7, I think it's verse 18, in fact, that says, the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom. I don't know, maybe you're going to talk about that in the young adult study tonight, or at least in that chapter somewhere. And so we're going to be with him and associated with the Lord Jesus. It's as though we're having victory over the world as well as, and victory over all his enemies, as well as being those who are going to judge. So maybe in that respect, you know, we're judging with him. He says we're going to judge the world. That's what Paul tells us here. So, in some respect, because the Lord, we're associated with the Lord Jesus and his coming again and his judgment, we too are going to be those who judge. I don't know exactly what form that's going to take. But because we're with the Lord Jesus, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when the Lord Jesus comes back and he is the one who's leading the victory and the war against everyone who's opposed to him, and we're going to be with him, and yet, I don't know if we really have to do anything. I mean, he's the one that's going to win the battle. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be, if you're in the military, for example, to be fighting a war and you didn't have to do anything? Somebody won the war for you, but you were still, you know, still got credit for the victory because you were part of the military that won the war. So anyway, it's going to be kind of like that. The Lord's going to be the one to come back and to rule and to reign, and we're going to be with him. And so in that respect, we judge the world with him. You know, when two people are at odds with each other, sometimes it's hard to really see, you know, the other's point of view. Because when we're in an argument and we want to win the argument, and I may just dig in my heels and, you know, because I think I'm right. And I may even be right. But sometimes it's not quite so important to be right. So sometimes it's hard to really see what's the right thing to do, because I think I'm right and the other person thinks he's right. And Jesus said it's best if we can work it out among ourselves individually first. There's another chapter in the Bible, and I'm just not going to turn to it, but it happens to be, whoops, let's just do this. It's Matthew chapter 18. Now, in that chapter, Jesus says that here's how you should work out problems in the church. It had to do with sin. If one of your brothers, if a brother sins, so it could have to do with sin, or it could have to do with maybe he did something to offend you, or did something that's a problem between you and your brother. Go to your brother, and if he listens to you, you've won your brother. And that's good. So there's good relationships again. But if he doesn't listen to you, well, take someone else along who may be able to listen and to help us settle the agreement or disagreement. And maybe he'll listen to that person or a couple other people that you take along. And if he doesn't listen to them, well, then maybe you need to take it to the church. Take it to the church and let the church settle the matter. See, this is kind of the process that we should be doing with things like this. That's what the Lord Jesus would want us to do. The people of Israel actually operated on a similar principle. There was a time when Moses was trying to listen to every individual problem that people had in Israel. And there were a lot of people. Could you imagine when two people had a disagreement that Moses was trying to settle all those agreements because they'd come to him, disagreements, and he'd come to him and he was trying to make a judgment about them, and his father-in-law saw what was going on, and he said, you know, you need to get other men involved and settle some of these smaller disagreements so you don't have to do it all yourself. But it was all still within Israel. I mean, it wasn't like outside of the country or outside of the nation. And that's the way God wanted them to operate, because that's the way the nation was run. So, but Moses took his father-in-law's advice, and that was really helpful. But they settled the matters among themselves, and sometimes they got other men involved to settle the matters in Israel. You know what chapter that was in? It's in the book of Exodus. What chapter do you think it was? Just happens to be chapter 18. So if you wanted to look it up, I'm not giving you the verses exactly, but I just thought that was kind of interesting that we had number 18 there for three of the passages and other places in the Bible that talk about this process of how we should settle our differences among ourselves. Now, I don't know what it'll be like to judge the world, but just the fact that we have this confidence that we say that we're going to judge the world, and if we're serious about learning the Word of God and what God has to say and knowing what He wants us to do, that we can have the confidence that we can make reasonable judgments among ourselves and among our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be able to judge each other now, but I just want to make sure we understand that. What's the tense of this verb here about judging the world? Is that present tense, past tense, or future tense in English? Is it something that's already happened? Something that we're doing now? Or something that will happen in the future? Will judge, which means it's in the future, right? So I think that's important to know that it's something we're not really doing now. You know, some Christians believe that we should change the world. And there's a lot of problems in the world and we need to clean it all up. Fix it all. Well, it's a noble idea, but it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. Really, the answer to all the world's problems is the Lord Jesus. And we'd like for people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, to understand that their lives can be changed and the life of sin can be done away with, and then they can live for Him. That's what can make things really better. And we are lights to the world. of the Lord Jesus within us, to help people understand that, you know, hopefully they see our good works and that glorifies God, and perhaps they see the sin in their own lives and understand that there's damage to their own lives and damage to the lives of other people. And they should want to be saved, to have the Lord Jesus as the answer to their sin problem. But we're still lights to the world. We're not going to change the world by ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's going to judge those who reject him. So we expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness. That's a good thing. We don't like what people do. And so we can stand against those things, but we're not going to judge the people. We don't judge the people for their sin now. The judgment will be later. Okay, reason number two is in the second verse, or third verse rather. Do you not know that we will judge angels? Can we translate that? We will judge angels. Now that is a kind of an amazing thing to me. And I, you know what? I'm not sure if I would have known this if he hadn't told us. Do you not know that we're going to judge angels? Well, before I had read this, no, I didn't know that. We're going to judge angels. How's that going to work out? Now, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us that angels are ministering spirits sent out to render service to those who will inherit salvation. I probably didn't quote that exactly right, but they are ministering spirits to us. So there may be angels right here with us right now. It's kind of interesting to think about that. Doesn't always seem that way. There's things that angels are doing that we don't know anything about. We don't see it happening. But angels are serving us and helping us in many ways. So does that mean that, okay, we're going to judge angels, and maybe there was a time that I had a really difficult time in my life and I didn't get through it very well, and, you know, am I supposed to say, well, you angels, you didn't help me out when I really needed you? No, I don't think that's what it means. Those are angels that God is sending those angels to help us. And but there are other angels too, who have fallen angels, angels who have followed Satan and have sinned against God. And so I think those are the angels that we're going to judge. Again, how are we going to judge them? I don't know, because God and the Lord Jesus is the one who judges everything. He's, all judgment has been given to him. Perhaps there's some delegation of how he's going to judge to some of us. But we're going to judge angels. And we do know that there's a place of eternal fire that is reserved for the devil and his angels. I believe that Revelation is referring to that when it talks about the lake of fire. And that we read in the book of Revelation, in John's vision, that the devil was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. And so they're going to be judged. They're going to be condemned. And it's going to be a complete and, well, an endless, really, judgment for what they have done. So exactly how that's going to work out and exactly what we're going to do, I don't know. But we're going to judge angels. And if we have the ability to judge angels in the future, again, that's future tense, isn't it? We will judge angels. We're not doing that now. But we should be able to judge simpler matters in the church, shouldn't we? Okay, reason number three. Let's see, that's in verse 4. We have law courts and judges in the law courts who are of no account in the church. I'm not sure exactly how to translate that, or if it is possible to translate that very easily. But judges who have nothing to do with the church. I don't know, can we say that, something like that, or of no account in the church? Judges who are not, that are not in the church, or are not involved in the church. So, you know, sometimes judges on the outside, they don't know what's going on in the church. They don't know what's best for the church. They may not even like the church. So that's not a good thing to do, to leave it up to somebody else that doesn't really care about the church. They are of no account to the church. Now, I recognize, and I'm not sure how it reads in the Quran. It may actually read a little differently in some English translations too, in verse 4, that there is actually a different way that this could have been translated that has to do, maybe it's just the most humble, the lowest people in the church that can do these judgments and can judge these things. I'm not sure which way is really the way it should have been, but I'm going to go with what this particular translation has, the way that it's been translated. They are of no account in the church, or they don't have anything to do with the church, and so we shouldn't let them be involved in church matters. That's really the way that I would look at that. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? If they don't really have an involvement in the church or an interest in the church or the things of how the church should function and operate and the good fellowship that we all have, that we enjoy together, the things that we can do together, such as, you know, some of us had a good time at the corn crib yesterday. That was a good time of fellowship, wasn't it? So we shouldn't leave things to the church, to people that don't really have anything to do with the church and don't care about it. In fact, when that happens, when we go to the outside courts, well then, there's going to be a matter of record. And there's going to be, you know, it's maybe going to be in the newspaper or something. Somebody might get a hold of it and put it on social media because it's out there. Wouldn't be such a good thing if somebody did a Facebook post about some terrible thing that was happening in the church and starts a bunch of gossip and people are talking about that. Oh, did you hear about what happened at that church down the street? Oh, what a terrible thing, you know. That's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? And so that can be a bad testimony in outside the church, which kind of brings us to the next reason for why we shouldn't do this. And we'll go down to verse 7 here, that sometimes, you know, isn't it better that let's not try to win the argument, let's just let it go. And even if it involves money or something like that, isn't it better to be wronged? Maybe we could just say it that way. Why not rather be wronged? Is that something we can translate? Why not rather be wronged? Is it easy to say that? Or in the Quran, I guess we could read it in what it says in the Quran Bible too. It's better if we just let the person have it, okay? If it's a matter of money, hopefully it's not going to be something that's going to break us up and cause us to not be able to meet our own needs. If that's the case, then maybe you do want to get somebody from the church involved because you don't want to be starving or something like that. But, if somebody says, if it's money, well, you can have the money. It's better to let that happen and to, you know, even if it means money that I shouldn't have had to give the person, I'd rather have that than to have an argument with the person. The Lord Jesus, I think it's kind of, I thought it was so good this morning in the breaking of bread time that we had several thoughts about how the Lord is the one who has first place. And a lot of times we're people who want to have first place, don't we? We want to be better than somebody else. It's a good thing to want to have value and purpose. But, you know, it's not like we're trying to make ourselves out better than being better than somebody else. And so the Lord Jesus is the one who has first place. But you know what? It was even shared this morning that he was willing to take the very lowest place of all humanity and to be humbled and to be beaten and scorned and to be tormented in such terrible ways. Took the lowest place, the person who is the very highest person in the universe. And so sometimes it's better for us to just give up our own, you know, things for other people. You know, let's consider others more important than ourselves. And so to be willing to give up. You know, there was a time in my life that someone thought that I had cheated a person. And I felt really bad about that. It wasn't something. I can understand why that person thought I cheated them. But I, you know, there was a problem. I thought the problem was taken care of, but there was still a problem. And there was some money involved. And so I thought, well, okay, maybe I should offer to help with the money, you know, the money that was causing, that might help to solve this problem. But I was advised, well, maybe you better not do that because it might make that person even more angry and just make it look like, okay, yeah, you just admitted that you tried to cheat that person. So I didn't do that, but it wasn't really ever resolved, and I felt really bad about it. So, you know, but if it's money that, okay, if it's a matter of money, well, maybe we should just be willing to give that up if we're able to, and let it be done. It's better to be wronged than to have a disagreement. That's kind of the idea there. Here's our last reason, of the ones that I saw anyway. And it kind of starts with verse 9, these three verses. Do not know, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that something we can translate? So, and I just want to point out that when he's talking about the unrighteous here, he's really meaning people who don't know the Lord Jesus. They're unbelievers. So there are times that even believers can get involved in certain sins, and there's a lot of sins that are mentioned in these verses and types of things that people do that are really terrible. But it's the people who practice these things who show themselves to be not really, you know, if they continue in this process, if they continue to do those things, well, it's really showing, you know, that's the kind of things that unbelievers do. Not all of them. I mean, there's some unbelievers that are nice, but you know, generally speaking, unbelievers do what unbelievers do. They do terrible things. And so it's talking about people who don't know the Lord Jesus as a Savior. They're the ones that do not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, you know, I mean, hey, it's a testimony that we're the ones that are going to inherit the kingdom of God. These people who are outside the church aren't going to inherit the kingdom of God, so they shouldn't be dealing with things that have to do with the church. Now, I like the fact, too, that it says down here, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. We've been made clean. He's washed us. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart to do a work for Him, to serve Him. And we've been justified. We've been made righteous, or declared righteous at least. The Lord Jesus, God has declared us righteous. And I don't know, there might be something to do here with, you know, it talks about the kingdom of God, and so probably a reference to God the Father. But here we have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, and we have the Spirit of our God, God the Holy Spirit. All three persons of God are somehow involved in this thought of the inheritance of the kingdom of God. Think about what we have. What we're going to have, what we're inheriting, and some of what we have right now, the wonderful blessings from God. So much of what we desire in this world and the things that seem important had to do with money, right? I mean, we need money to live on, but it's not like we're going to take any money with us when we're with the Lord, when we're in heaven. And so the things of this world aren't that important. But think of the inheritance, all the wonderful things that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and His inheritance. Well, the rest of the chapter we're not going to really talk about, but I did want to point out the last couple of verses here. Actually, this is a good verse too. It says, flee immorality. Anything that's wrong or has to do with bad things, we should try to get away from those things. Paul told Timothy, he said, flee youthful lusts, especially things that had to do with sexual immorality and things that we would do in a way that's not pleasing to God in a sexual manner, but all other kinds of immorality as well. And it's particularly talking about sexual immorality in this section, some of which we skipped over already. But look at these last two verses. This is kind of important too. Again, here's the question. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Now think about that. You know, in an earlier chapter, we learned that the church of God is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That the church is for the Holy Spirit to live in. Well, I think here he's talking about individual believers and our own bodies inside of us that know the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit is living in us. Sometimes it doesn't really feel any different, but he's living in our lives. And so because of that, we don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought with a price. The Lord Jesus has purchased us. Now, it's something we do voluntarily. We want to serve Him, but He's purchased us with a price. What was that price? It was His very life, wasn't it? The Lord Jesus Himself. That was the price with which we were purchased. We were redeemed, not with perishable things, but like silver or gold. But with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That's what we were purchased by. And so, therefore, glorify God in your body. That's what we really want to do, isn't it? That we want to live for Him. That we want to give our lives to Him and to glorify Him. Because, well, we talked about it this morning. He has first place. He deserves first place. He deserves first place in our lives, and we want that to be known. And we want to show that in what we do, in our praise and our worship and what we do for Him. We should use our bodies to glorify God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that the Lord Jesus Christ took that position, the very lowest position, to allow us to have eternal life, to pay the penalty, the price for our sins. And we thank You too for this reminder that when we have little disagreements among ourselves, that we should work those things out. Sometimes it's a lot easier just to avoid conflict and not to try to deal with it, but sometimes we don't want to be angry with each other, and we thank You that that doesn't really seem to be the case, but we desire that that would continue to be the case, that we would be at good relations with each other, and that we would get along with each other, that we would work out these little differences even when we have them, and that You would be glorified. We would wish to glorify You in our body. Your Holy Spirit lives in us, and we would desire to have bodies that are clean and right before You so that we can worship You and serve You in the way that pleases You. We would desire this in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that it's all possible because of Him, and we pray in His name. Amen.